Morning reading is from John. Jesus, the bread of life. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never be thirsty. The people started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So they said, this man is Jesus, son of Joseph, isn't he? We know his father and mother. How then does he now say he came down from heaven? Jesus answered, stop grumbling among yourselves. People cannot come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And I will raise them to life on the last day. The prophets wrote, everyone will be taught by God. Anyone who hears the Father and learns from him comes to me. This does not mean that anyone has seen the Father. He who is from God is the only one who has seen the Father. I am telling you the truth. He who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. But the bread that comes down from heaven is of such a kind that whoever eats it will not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. The bread that I give you is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live.
So I know that our bulletin today doesn't say that there's a sermon, but it's supposed to say that there's a sermon. So you're not getting off as easy as you might think you are. So the title of my sermon today is Outward Visible Sign of an Inward Spiritual Grace. Let us be in the spirit of prayer. Beyond the manna in the wilderness, you feed us, Lord, on constancy and presence, all engaging us and filling us with joy. In life, we find you here, O Lord. As life, we yearn to find our fill in you. Become for us this hour, our Lord, the life that fills us in all joy. Amen. So while you may not have been expecting a sermon, the length of the sermon today is up to you. You see, I'm going to be asking you to share with me in giving the message. We've done that before, right? So what we're talking about today is communion as a sacrament. In the United Methodist Church, we have two sacraments, Holy Communion and Baptism. And the dictionary definition of sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace, especially one of the solemn Christian rites considered to have been instituted by Jesus Christ. This is the definition that we teach our confirmand youth each year. I see a couple of confirmands in the congregation. You remember that, right? Now, we understand baptism as a sacrament because Jesus himself submitted to baptism by John. And then, as he was getting ready to ascend into heaven, Jesus told the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The ritual of Holy Communion originates in Jesus sharing the Passover meal with his disciples at the Last Supper and comes to us with similar directives. As the Gospel of Luke describes it, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So in both cases, we're given instructions to follow. Go baptize. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, the word solemn is included in the definition of sacrament, one of the solemn Christian rites. Now, solemn doesn't have to mean somber, right? Yet sometimes we Christians get that mixed up. My first memory of communion was at my childhood church. Now, back then, in the olden days, We only had communion quarterly, four times a year. Now, my mom was assisting with the service in some way that day, so we were there early as things were getting set up. And someone accidentally bumped the communion table. Now, it wasn't attached like this one is. The chalice fell over, and there was grape juice everywhere. Now, while it was simply a mishap and no real harm was done, they didn't have a brand new carpet like we do, everyone reacted as if it was the worst thing in the world. At least in my six-year-old perception, that's what I understood. So for quite a while after that, I was scared of communion. It took me a while to experience the joy of sharing in Holy Communion. As that six-year-old, I was afraid of doing it wrong, of spilling my juice, of making God mad at me, just like the adults had been upset. Now, the definition that I like best for the word solemn is characterized with deep sincerity. One can be deeply sincere with joy and gratitude. Solemn doesn't have to mean dour or stern. But the more difficult thing to understand in the definition of sacrament is how it can be an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Okay, we get the visible part, right? We have the bread, we have the wine, or grape juice, as we have in our tradition. But what is the inward and spiritual grace that it conveys? Now, this is where you come in. Have you ever had an experience of Holy Communion when you felt God's grace touch you in a special way? Was there a particular service of Holy Communion during which you felt close to God? Now, while you think on that, I'm going to tell you a story that somewhat counters my earlier story. Now, as I mentioned, when I was growing up, we shared communion quarterly in a rather traditional way. Always inside, always with a certain solemnity, approaching somberness. No one ever looked particularly happy to be sharing the sacrament. So who would have known that some 25 years later, I would be serving communion to 40 teenagers on a confirmation retreat in Rhode Island in an outdoor chapel in March when it was 30 degrees and the ground was covered in ice. Now, it sounds like a disastrous scenario, but it was an incredibly beautiful experience of Holy Communion. I presided over the table wearing mittens. The teenagers passed the bread and the juice to each other, laughing and slipping on the ice. They had been strangers at the beginning of the weekend, and they had become friends. I thought, this is what Jesus meant when he said, "Remember me." Indeed, I knew that Jesus was with us. So now it's your turn. And if you'd like to share a little bit about Holy Communion and what it's meant to you, I invite you to come forward so that we can all hear what you have to share. Now, it's not too scary, right? We're all friends here together. So what experience of Holy Communion has touched you? Is there a brief reflection that you would like to share?
So this maybe doesn't quite count, but I'm going to tell you a story here. This happened out at a retreat center of Stanford University up in the mountains overlooking Lake Tahoe. And I was there for a technical conference, and I presented a paper about measuring voltage of electron beams. Okay, so that's not what the story is about, though. We had an afternoon free. So the conference went for 3 days, and it was a free afternoon. And you could either take a bus down to the casino and gamble, or you could get a box lunch and you could hike up into the hills. So I had a packed lunch, and I was with three other engineers I had never met before the conference. And we hiked up, and we got to a place on a peak where you could look down this way, and you could see a lake and a lodge where we were staying, and you could look the other way, and you could see Lake Tahoe. And it was a beautiful, warm day with no ice. It was just beautiful. And we were all, we could feel God's presence there. And so we took a sandwich, and we took a bottle of some kind of juice, and I said what I could remember the words of communion, that God had given His Son, His body for us, and His blood for us. And it was an extremely powerful feeling of being in the presence of God.
Mine is a little different, but back in 1993, some of you remember, Jim and I were visiting quite frequently his brother in San Francisco, who was diagnosed with AIDS, and at that time Jim and I were doing ministry here in Vermont, sharing that story. And one Sunday when we were in San Francisco, we worshiped at the Metropolitan Community Church. And that's a church of mainly gay, lesbian, transgender people. And it was a healing, hands-on healing service, much like ours today, a moment to come forward. But we also received communion. And communion was given to me by a Baptist woman, Baptist minister, and I stood beside men and women who definitely did not feel that they were invited to the table. And the Metropolitan Church offers that place for them to come and feel welcome at the table, at the holy table. And it was there that I think I really understood what inclusiveness means, and God's presence was in that church. And I was blessed to be a part of this.
When I was growing up in Ohio, I used to go every summer to a Presbyterian church camp that was called Kirkmont, and it was kind of like Sky Farm and or Covenant Hills, and they had a music camp for a week that I always went to. So for me, the primary focus was music, and the fact that it was Christian, it was more of a sideline for me. But one thing they always did was to have a special service on Friday night to just bring everyone together and kind of dial down the more usual, you know, wildness of camp and make things calm and still and solemn. And what I remember is one year, I don't think they did this every year, but what I remember is one year when we had a quiet service in the main lodge. Maybe it was candlelight or something, it was dim. And then we all walked single file out to the lake, we called it was more of a pond, in the camp. And we made a circle all the way around the pond. And the communion was served. And it was like communion here last week, where each person served it to the next. And of course, these were kids at camp. So when a boy who was maybe 14 handed me the Rubbermaid container of juice, he said, "Watch out, there are bugs in it." And so that seems a little flippant, but apart from that, it was solemn and special, and I feel a lot of God in nature anyway. This is in a very dark place where you can see so many stars. And I really felt the Holy Spirit that night. I felt so connected to those those people.
As I shared a few weeks ago, I went through a lot of doubts while I was in college, and I had a lot of questions, and so I had an opportunity to go to a retreat with other college students at Yale Engineering Camp, and we had a guest speaker and an opportunity to ask them questions, and I asked them questions, and his answers didn't help me one bit, but I thought, well, I'm here to have fellowship with the young people from various colleges, so I'll just enjoy that. And but Sunday morning, at the end of our retreat, we gathered in the room where we had our retreat around a fireplace with the fire and had our worship service with a piano that was not tuned. But we started to sing the hymn we just sang, Let Us Break Bread Together. And a peace came over me and came over that group. And we shared in communion. And I knew at that point why I had come to that retreat. It wasn't to get questions answered. My professors were filling me with lots of information. I was on information overload. But it was to feel the presence of the Lord. And I went back to my dorm realizing that it would be okay. If I persevered, I would come through this spell, this dark time. And the Lord was with me.
My first church had a wonderful group of three pastors, there were only three pastors in the town, who met together. And Father Henry of the Catholic Church right across the street from mine was a wonderful man. So it came time for his 25th year of his ordination, which is a special time in the Catholic Church for a priest, as they say. So I was invited to this, and it sounded like it was going to be a man. So I asked Father Henry privately at some meeting whether I would be able to receive communion. And he said, no. And I said, well, I probably would not come. But later on, I decided I would go because I liked Father Henry and I thought he was doing a good ministry within the town and wanted to share with him in his celebration. So I just put on my little collar and I can't remember, some little suit. And I ended up over there. And here were all these priests dressed to kill in all the stuff that they wear and like the psalmists were there with their swords. And it was a very fancy occasion. And I tried to just sort of sneak in the back. And the usher knew who I was and said, oh, we're supposed to sit up there on the platform with everyone else. Said, clergy. And I said, oh, my goodness. So I ended up there, and I was on this side, facing about 13 priests who were all dressed up. And there were some lay people that were up there as well, doing some parts of the service. So when it came time for communion, I thought, oh, well, I just will stand up and be with this person, this lay person who was next to me, who was going to receive. And Father Henry was the server, and he came over and stood in front of me, and I looked at him because he had told me that I would not be able to receive. And he said, it was the bread. And he said, well, it was quite a shared experience, both to be here there for his celebration, but also to be sharing in something that was not allowed. The one thing I did not do, then all the priests pervaded up to the cup, and drank from it at the altar, and I decided I didn't want to do that because I didn't want Father Henry to get into trouble. No one else saw that. I think that was a little too much. But it was an exciting experience to. It was almost like Jesus was right there saying, take it.
Well, when I was young, I always thought of the nature of snack. When I got older, I noticed people going to the rail, and it's been like a cleansing since I started going to the rail. I can ask for forgiveness, and I don't have to tell the story of Joe's, but you know, I just ask for forgiveness and pray for people, and that's what community means for me.
Unlike when I was a child, today we share Holy Communion at least once a month and sometimes more. Some United Methodist churches have weekly communion. And the founder of our United Methodist movement, John Wesley, encouraged his followers to constant communion. daily communion, in fact. He and his brother Charles received communion 4 to 5 times a week. They truly believed and taught that you can't get too much of a good thing. John Wesley is known to have described the Lord's Supper as the grand channel whereby the grace of his Spirit was conveyed to the souls of all the children of God. He understood Holy Communion as a powerful means through which divine grace is given to God's people, the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. So now we will receive Holy Communion. Today we will be receiving at the rail. And as you are given the bread and the cup, think not only of what they are, but also what they mean. Grace, sacrifice, forgiveness, mystery, healing, nourishment, wholeness. Please join with me in praying the prayer. Printed in your bulletin or up on the screen. Bread of life,
you promise that whoever comes to you will never be hungry. You assure us that whoever believes in you will never be thirsty. Come and feed us, bread of heaven, for we are hungry for your truth. Come and satisfy our thirst, living water, for we are thirsty for your righteousness.